He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Ascension Day. It is the perfect church holiday because the world has not stolen it yet. Well, the culture around you has done quite the trick with Easter and Christmas, wouldn't you say? When people think of Christmas, they don't think of the Christ child in the manger, the Savior of the world is born. No, they think of Black Friday shopping. They think of Christmas lights and Santa Claus. Ho, ho, ho. My kids once got in trouble with my sister because my kids coughed up to their cousins that, well, that one guy isn't real. And they got in a lot of trouble. But look what they've done with Easter. Easter now is all about the Easter bunny hiding eggs full of candy for children to eat. And if you would ask any adult what Easter's about, what do they say? The first thing they think of is Cadbury eggs. The cream-filled ones are the best. Let me guess, you never got your Happy Ascension Day card in the mail today, now did you? I bet none of you at all have hung up your Ascension Day lights yet either, have you? And have you baked cookies for your family and friends and your pastor, although my wife won't let me have them? Probably not. When it comes to Ascension Day, it's really quite unexciting. Because there's no shopping to be done, no cars to send, no nothing to bake, and no lights to hang, and I'm quite sure you never invited family and friends over for dinner today either, with the juicy ham and all the stuff that goes with that. Well, not at all, but you know why? Because the world hasn't stolen Ascension Day yet. It hasn't corrupted it. Why? Because Jesus' last act on earth, quite honestly, was a little puzzling. After all, the Apostles' Creed says, and he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Praise be to Jesus. On the surface, it appears as if Jesus has left the building. Christ is gone. He's vacated his place. The earth is without Christ. But if you look at Ascension Day and see less of the presence of Jesus, you have missed out on a powerful truth about the ascended Christ. Now, do you remember what Mary Magdalene said when she went to the tomb of Jesus and his body wasn't there? She was wondering where they had hidden the body of Jesus. And lo and behold, Jesus showed up and she thought he was the gardener. And she asked him, "Where have you put the body of my Lord?" And Jesus looked at her and just said the words, "Mary." And her eyes were opened up to who he was. And what's the next thing she did? She grabbed a hold of him and wasn't going to let go. And Jesus' words to her says, "Don't hold on to me, Mary. I have not yet ascended to my Father." Now, on one hand, you would think, well, it must be that his body is so holy and sacred that a sinful human being can't touch him. But that ain't true. What happened when Thomas came in the room? Jesus says, "Touch this," placing his hands at his side to make sure Thomas knew that he had risen from the dead. So what is Jesus really saying to Mary? He's saying, "Let go of me. I have not yet ascended to my Father. And when I ascend to the Father, Mary, you're going to have a more close and deeper relationship with me than anyone else has ever known before. Mary, the way I am right now, you could lose me forever. But when I ascend to the Father, I will be forever with you. Amen." Well, following the ascension, Christ is present with us through the working of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's here, right? Today, Christ is present within our midst. In fact, Jesus says, "Unless I go, the advocate will not come, but if I go, I will send him to you." And so that whole Ascension Day thing tonight that you and I experience, we are closer to Jesus today than the disciples were sitting face to face with him at the Last Supper, receiving his very flesh and blood. We're closer today with Jesus. Jesus makes perfectly clear what his intentions are. He descended from heaven, leaving the glory behind that he might inhabit human flesh, where he'd obey God's law, be crucified, and on the third day rise again for you. That's why Christ came. But what is exactly Ascension Day? The world can't figure it out, and so the holiday's safe, no worries. And by the looks of it, if it's not for the choir and a few faithful that show up, nobody would be here but maybe me and Mr. Peter, but of course we're getting paid. But you see, the real thing of it is, what does ascension mean to you? Two things I want you to notice. Notice this, that Jesus at his ascension is sending his disciples out into the world to proclaim the gospel. And the very next step, Jesus Christ is ascending up into heaven. But why did he do it? Jesus said that he had to fulfill all righteousness. He had to fulfill God's law, which means what you read on Moses and the prophets and the Psalms all speak of Jesus. He's the content. He is the meaning of those scriptures. And so when you hear about Jesus that incarnate by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, was buried, the third day rose again from the dead, he did it all for you. All these things paid the price for our sins. But by these works, Jesus Christ has satisfied the wrath of God for all that you and I have done in our lives that are contrary to God's will. Yet these things alone have not delivered specifically to you the forgiveness that Christ died to give. Did you follow that? Just because Christ was incarnate by the Holy Spirit all the way to crucified upon the cross doesn't mean you're forgiven unless God gives you those blessings. One of the hard things about becoming a Lutheran is I had to be a lot more critical of the songs that we sing. You ever notice that we don't sing that classic, an old rugged cross or on a hill far away? Because it's not at the cross you receive forgiveness. God always does it through means. God gives you his grace and his forgiveness, and he shows you exactly where to find it. What makes ascension so important to the Christian church? It's because on this day, the two grand things take place. Jesus sends his disciples out, and Jesus ascends into heaven. And what else could it mean that through the preached word of those disciples, that his power is unleashed on earth? To this end, Jesus ascends to the Father. And in so doing, he commissions his disciples to make known the gospel to the whole world. And that gospel has made its way here. See, you and I are the sinners that need to hear it. We need the sharpness of God's law to be proclaimed in our ears, even when we don't like it. To draw us to a point where we acknowledge our sin before God, and we repent, we turn away, and we go to Christ and say, "Forgive me, for I've sinned against you. I do not merit your grace and your mercy, but by the promises that you make in your word." And by the way, God actually fulfills his promises. "I know that my sins are forgiven." And how do you know that? I'm not the first pastor to stand here, and I will not be the last. That word of grace and the power of the proclaimed word has transformed your lives and mine. That powerful word has revealed our sins before God. But at the same time that the sweetness of the gospel comes and showers its grace and mercy upon us. And imagine the pulpit as a waterfall of grace and mercy poured out to you. You know, on call night at the seminary, it's a little unnerving because you've put in all that hard work to earn a master's degree and to be certified, to be ordained and installed in a congregation. The only thing that stands between you and a pulpit is call day. And call day, you're standing there having no idea where you're going. And they announce the church and then finally announce the congregation. And you're either really excited or really nervous. But many of my fellow colleagues went to congregations that had older church buildings, and in those, the pulpit was actually located up in the wall. It'd be accessed through a back door up a narrow stairway, and the pastor would preach from somewhere up here. And the whole symbolism was, as the pastor proclaims the word, you should hear the thundering voice of Christ coming down upon you. It would be pretty cool, but I'm kind of afraid of heights, so this is high enough. But you get the point. That God sent forth his apostles that they had proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ, a message for you and me as sinners who are doomed to death and burial by our sinfulness that fills every single one of us. But I declare to you in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, by that word sent forth, that Christ took your place. He fulfilled all of God's wrath for you. And tonight on any night in the church year is a joyous night. Although you didn't get to have cookies and there's no lights hung outside of the building and probably no cards in the mail and no big dinner with family and friends, but I tell you one thing, what you got the gospel of Christ proclaimed, sending forth pastors as sometimes as worthless as me to make known to you that your sins are forgiven. I want to try something new and see if this will catch on. He has ascended. Hallelujah. Amen. You guys are good.